Making May Magic. Today, take a moment to soften and to center, to feel the sweet breath of presence sweep over you. Today, return. Meet the sacred where you are. This is Molly Reamer with 30 Days of Goddess and Bridget's Grove with this week's audio edition of the Creative Spirit Circle newsletter. As always, the link to the print edition of the newsletter is right below this audio, where you will access clickable links to get to most of the things that I mention during this audio recap. So this week's shop update is full of more magic. In addition to our special edition May patron kit, as well as a small restock of our new Flora Goddess, we also have some short run special colors, a deep purple and a magical translucent teal. These colors together really remind me of fluorite, and I really love them a lot. And so we've been talking this year about maybe doing some, we have our holiday special edition colors, but sometimes we're always inventing new things, and sometimes we invent something new that doesn't necessarily match up with our other plans. And so we've been talking about, and then sometimes that's what ends up as color experiments, because we only make two and then we move on. And so recently we've thought, if we make something that's really pretty and we really like it, maybe we'll do a short run special edition. So, you know, 10 of something instead of just one or two color experiments. What if we find a color experiment we really dig, and what if we make 10 of them? And so this is a first effort at experimenting in that way. So there are color experiments, but a little bit extra. And so anyway, that's the first offering of those things this week. And then in terms of this week's magic, our 8-minute ritual video has a theme of leading and letting go. We are having a sale in the shop. There are more than 200 of our items on sale, which to celebrate both my birthday, which is today, and also to make Mother's Day shopping a breeze. So the sale goes on actually from May 1st through 8th. And this, it's just automatically in there. You don't need a code or anything. And so some stuff is not on sale, but a lot of stuff is. Our May 30 Days of Goddess practice update is ready for you with a theme of love. There is a 20-minute practice video with an update. And I will say, if I do so myself, those videos are useful and interesting and replenishing to watch, whether or not you maintain a dedicated daily practice or whether or not you actually follow along with 30 Days of Goddess. That video still has a lot to offer you just from a nourishment perspective. So make sure to check it out. The Replenish Retreat replay from our Beltane online live ritual is available for you on the Replenish Retreat replay page, as well as the printable companion cards, which are really nice if I do so myself. And we do have a guest post for Beltane. I linked to it last week before it was actually live on Patreon. So if you had trouble getting to it, then it is ready now by Kim Salrin about elemental magic for spoonies for Beltane. And a resource reminder, my Spring in the Ozarks poetry booklet from my in-person poetry reading was included as a PDF with last week's podcast edition of the newsletter. And a reminder that this week's Goddess Guidance Club honoring Oshun is free for everyone this month. That has the printable Story Goddess Oracle packet, a 7-minute video, and an Oshun mini prayer booklet as well. And then a couple of blog posts, not many. That's just not rising to the top of my list this year to keep the blog very regularly updated. So we'll see what happens. We'll just see. As far as reading, I'm still reading The House Witch to myself. I am starting to enjoy this one more. I'd mentioned before I was falling asleep kind of as soon as I started reading it, and I was having trouble keeping my place. Well, I've hit my stride with it a little better, and I am enjoying it more. It is about a palace cook with domestic magical powers, and there's a little intrigue and, you know, a little romance starting to brew. To the kids, I am reading book one of The Tripods, The White Mountains, and this is a change of pace for us, because this is a dystopian sci-fi type of series that Mark remembers reading and enjoying as a kid. And I think this really is one of the first times I've read one of his childhood series to our kids. Usually I read my own childhood favorites or new things that we all like. So this series is about a future society that has gone back to an agrarian style living, but there are these massive mechanical tripods that put a mesh cap on everyone and to mind control them. And some plucky teens start to question why this is so. So there are some people, so everybody's kind of mind controlled by these giant robots, and nobody even knows where they came from or how long they've been there. And the people don't really remember what has happened to, like, the collapse of society. So there's ruins of old ships and buildings and things like that. But they are, you know, raising sheep and having a mill, and so it's almost like medieval style village, but there's big ruins with things printed on them that they don't understand that say things like high voltage, keep danger. Oh yeah, danger, keep out, 18,000 volts or something. And so they think the volts must have been these really terrible creatures, and they had to be kept behind this fence because they would get you. And so there's a few things like that. So there's stuff printed around that they don't understand. Automatic, it says on something, and they think it, they don't know what automatic, they think it's the name of the person who made the watch because it says automatic. And they're like, oh, that must have been the watchmaker who made the watch. And so it's kind of interesting. And the kids are not totally sure. It's written in that, it's written quite a long time ago, and it's written in that style where there's a lot of describing versus dialogue. I've noted that's something that really has struck me about childhood favorite books and the modern day is that books that were written in the last 10 years have a lot more dialogue and a lot more action than books that were written prior to that, which sort of do a lot of description and even a lot of, they will even, instead of doing dialogue, they will say things like, he asked me about blah, 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 and then I was thinking blah, 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 and then I told him I was going to do blah, 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 but it's not actually written in dialogue. It's like describing the fact that these people had a conversation. And so that's something that strikes me as a read aloud. It's more fun to read books as a read aloud that have dialogue and not description. So anyway, also still listening to Ronya the Rubber Stutter. We've been driving and in the car a lot lately, so you would think we've gotten farther in it, but we haven't. People weren't really in the mood to listen to anything in the car, and so we did not take advantage of listening to the audiobooks that we should have taken advantage of listening to. As far as life's little bits and pieces, I'm working on the flip-through video of my April prayer book. We are working on car licensing and insurance. We're having trouble getting in touch with our insurance company for some reason, so that's a little does not instill confidence. But anyway, that is because, yes, we are no longer looking for any cars. I am super relieved about this and hope I will sleep easier soon. After test driving more than 20 different cars in 7 different towns and rejecting many of them as either too expensive or not in good enough condition. Like, I could not tell you how many cars we tried to drive that don't start and have bald tires, but that people want $20,000 for. And then also we encountered some weird experiences with people who are like salespeople who are just obviously lying to us. They're literally telling us something that can be counteracted by papers that we have right in front of us. So that was really weird to be lied to multiple times. And that makes you feel weird about people in general. And like, I don't get what the point is. Like, just tell us the real story. And then, yes, I think as a basic bottom line, especially if you're a car lot, if you're an individual person, maybe your car has bald tires, but if you're a car lot, your car should have the cars that you are selling. Oh, and if you're a car lot and you're selling a car for $4,000, maybe. But if you're trying to sell a car for $15,000 to $20,000, it should have tires that are in drivable condition, and it should also start. And anyway, so that's just call that a, maybe I'm having a, maybe I expect too much, but I don't think I do. And so we decided on a 2018 Nissan Armada, which has plenty of room for us. And everybody, it can tow. It has, it's four-wheel drive and all that. It is very big, and I've been joking its name should be Haas. And so I did include a picture in this newsletter that Tanner took of us. And I love how the sun was coming through the clouds when he took the picture. So it has this sunburst of relief over the picture. But anyway, finally found something. I've also found, it's been a couple, we haven't bought a car since 2018 or 2019. And that one was a 2009 when we bought it. And things have changed in that people don't seem very willing to negotiate with you on price anymore. They're very like, nope, this is exactly what I'm charging and that's exactly what it's going to be. And I won't even change the price by $50. So that's kind of weird. Like cultural change or something that's happened in the process of buying cars that's a little different. And we're working on putting together May patron kits as well as finishing up our Magic Mail mailing for our Goddess Magic community members. It's taking me a long time to get that ready. I can't really explain why it is taking me so long because then it would spoil the surprise, but it is taking a little longer than I would have expected to get Magic Mail on the road. We are working on more minis for Mother's Day, special edition May and June colors. We're working on some more meditation minis as well. Oh, so these are our old style minis. We're working on old style minis in special edition colors because we've had enough requests for them that we decided we're willing to risk Mark's fingers again and work on finishing them because enough people have expressed interest in the special edition colors. We're also working on new style minis in more meditation minis and even sort of secretly some miniature sovereigns with wings in red. So that is coming up soon. I'm working on the June practice update video and resources for 30 Days of Goddess. We're honoring Freya in June with a theme of renewal. I'm working on travel packing and plans, and I'm also working on ideas for a summer solstice replenish retreat. I really enjoyed doing the Beltane one. I enjoyed doing our spring equinox, and I think I'm going to keep going along with the general replenish theme for the Wheel of the Year this year. So stay tuned for an event notice for that. I am looking forward to going to Crepe Escape for my birthday lunch, and I am looking forward to our annual family ritual of making a green man in the field to honor Beltane. That was delayed until my birthday due to the family being sick. Everybody got sick, except for me. I'm not sure why I evaded it, but they all, maybe knock on wood, maybe it's still coming to get me, but everybody's been sick and kind of snotty, so we didn't. And also Lan, our oldest, isn't home until the weekend, and so we like to do our green man with him. I am happy about not spending any more time in car dealerships or lots. Yay for that. And I'm thinking about the complex threads of being human. Life is so very full of muchness. So there's a powerful read from Shira Ehrlichman called What's Love Got to Do With It that has lots of food for thought and things to consider. I'm also thinking about the great conversation I had this week with Dr. Vanya of Belonging to the Wild. My interview on her podcast will air in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly when. We were buying the car. We said we couldn't come and get it until Thursday, and they said you have to come and get it on Tuesday, even though Mark was sick and we weren't going to be, and we had to drive for an hour and a half both ways. So we spent 3 hours in the car on Tuesday getting the car. And then when we went to get it, they weren't really ready for us to get it, even though they told us we had to come that day. And so we ended up having to sit there for a long time. And the interview, I had this podcast interview coming up, and the time was getting closer and closer and closer. And I told the people, like, I've got to get home for this podcast interview. And so I just barely skated in the door in time to do it. And it would have been, I think about things like that, you know, it would have been easier. Maybe it would have been easier to say, I can't do the podcast interview this day. I need to do it another day. But I do find it really important for me to keep the promise. If I've said I'm going to be there and I said I'm going to do the podcast interview, I would rather be a little flustered and frazzled and a little bit skating in at the last minute than trying to push it back and figure it out for another day. So, and we ended up having a really great conversation. Sometimes I think when you're less poised and professional, the conversation is actually better. Not that I'm ever that poised or professional, but you know, sometimes I have more plans. This one I was very much like, well, we'll just see what happens. And then a quote from Malidoma Patrice Somme. Ritual is called for because our soul communicates things to us that the body translates as need or want or absence. So we enter into ritual in order to respond to the call of the soul. So what small rituals are your soul calling for as we enter this Beltane season? What is your soul calling for that your body might communicate as need, want, or absence? And how can you honor that through ritual? For example, for me, I like to do an anointing with dewdrops on Beltane, but there were no dewdrops on Beltane morning. There hasn't been. There weren't any dewdrops last Beltane either. And so I couldn't find any dewdrops. I guess I needed to get up earlier. There probably were some in the morning earlier, and I was too late for them. So I was thinking like, oh, dang, I didn't get to do my anointing with the dewdrops. And I was feeling very frazzled. This has been a hard couple of weeks in terms of just too muchness, too many going places, too many things happening, too much that stuff is needed. It's just been really a lot. We did campus tours. My second son did his National History Day presentation. I spent all day last Friday doing campus tour, art department tour, all kinds of stuff with our older son. It's been a lot. There's been a lot going on and lots of driving. I couldn't believe it when I counted up. I was like, I think we've driven cars in 4 different towns. And then I counted it up and I was like, oh, try 7 different towns. It was pretty serious. And so I felt this longing in my soul. Like I am sort of feeling frazzled and stretched thin, and I've been going too many places, and I don't even have any Beltane dewdrops to anoint myself with. And so then I saw the wild blackberries are in bloom, and I went over to the flowers, and there was bees on them and butterflies on them, and I went ahead and picked one little flower. I like them to turn into blackberries, so I don't usually pick the flowers, but I picked one little flower, and then I did my Beltane anointing with the little flower that I, the blackberry flower, and I thought, that's the kind, you know, that's the kind of ritual that I want to encourage you to do. That's the kind of ritual that I want to encourage you to do. Use what you have available to you right where you are and respond to the calling from your soul that arises in your body as longing or need, but respond to the calling of your soul with ritual. So in terms of leading and letting go, some things from this week's ritual video. Sometimes we have to let go and let change unfold on its own, and sometimes we have to seize the wheel. I think it is funny that my theme was based around the wheel rune, kind of before we knew we were getting this car. And so anyway, we literally seized the wheel. Questions to consider: what happens when we take the wheel in our own lives? What happens when we create what we wish to see? What happens when we steer? More questions: do you need to roll in a different direction? Do you need to get into the driver's seat and steer yourself somewhere else? What is changing for you? Do you feel like you have a control or influence over the changes in your life? Do you need to move on? Do you need to roll in a different direction? What stories are your landscape telling you right now? What stories are alive in your life right now? Practices for you, aside from a Beltane anointing with whatever your landscape holds: rest your hands against your heart, feel your breath come easy, and affirm, "I claim my trust." Claim your trust over and over again. Another practice: take a deep breath of clarity, center yourself into the present, into your own wholeness. And a lot of affirmations for this week drawn from that video: I let my own joy lead me. I honor my human-sized life. I am free to choose. I can rewrite my story. I trust myself to be here. We really do have to choose. That's something that comes up. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Holderness family's May-Cember video, but that is how it feels sometimes in May. Like they say at the beginning, that it's the kind of hustle and bustle of December, but without the twinkly lights or the cookies. And May can feel really busy. And I think it's important to remember, and I find a lot, I talked about this with Dr. Vanya as well, I find there being a lot of liberation actually in recognizing that I do have to choose, that I cannot do everything, and that I can put myself wholeheartedly into that which I do choose, instead of spreading myself so thin that I can't do, that I have to do everything kind of half-heartedly. And so I have to choose, and I have to remember this again and again and again and again. And I have to remember it again and again and again. And I think we can view it either way. Like, having to choose can feel sort of like a failure, like, oh no, I can't do everything. Or it can feel liberating, like, yes, this is my power of choice, and I am getting into the driver's seat, and this is the direction I'm choosing to go. And if I choose to go this direction, it means I can't go the other direction. You know, we can't go east and west at the same time. We have to choose which way to go. And it can be true of choices. I can do this, or I can do this, but I can't do everything. So we really do have to choose. We are humans with human-sized limits, while we also belong to the infinite. That's the paradox. With infinite dreams and possibilities inside us and around us, we really do have to choose. These are our lives, and they might as well hold joy. They might as well hold delight. They might as well hold magic. We might as well follow the delight, follow the inspiration, and follow the joy. We might as well lean into our lives wholeheartedly with trust and with love, because these are our lives to lead. Small, human, infinite, expansive, all in one. And then just a closing reading, which I was reminded of in from my some of the things I shared last week about social media and activism and Palestine and what to say and what not to say. And I thought about how we each have a piece of the work. We each have a piece of the work. We each have a thread. We each have a strand in the web. And so this little tiny poem was based on that. We each make a stand for hope in our own way. May the threads of our sacred work bless one another and create a web of change. Thank you so much for being here. Keep living your magic. Bye-bye.